listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Watch out, little hoe. My partner still smoke on parole. They say that I'm crazy. I used to talk to a stove. I tell it a lot. Shit, I tell it a lot. Go to the dealership. Fish, tell off the lot. You know I'm coming straight out the block. You know I'm coming straight off the top. Shorty say she want $5 million because I told her to leave and call her a thought. Shit, you could like it or not. I'm coming straight out the pot. Still got some eck in my scot. Nigga, I ain't got a lot. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips Podcast. Your host, Rod, and...
Watch your little bitch.
Karen.
We waving that thing at your body. And we are live on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, Monday. I don't even know what comes on TV today.
Supergirl. Like. Now this is
it's
on
back.
Break.
Is it back?
No. I think it is on break because of the games.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Something on TV.
So we back. Hope everybody enjoyed throwing their brackets in the trash this weekend.
Oh yeah, a whole lot of upsets.
March trashness is all I like to call it, because that's what everybody bracket is at this point. And that's why you can't depend on 17 to 21 year olds to be consistent and predictable.
Nope,
you never know what's gonna happen to those schools. Although my team, Carolina, made it through the first two rounds, so praise them. Shout out to Roy Williams. We did it.
Won't he do it?
Won't he do it? That's right. And unfortunately, Duke is still in it, you know, so we'll see how it continues to go. The official weapon of the show is...
The taser.
And the unofficial sport...
Is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today is day 459. That Bobby Schmurda has been locked up in jail without bail. The official weapon, I already said that. Okay.
The taser.
I think I already said that.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty. Did we just say that? Didn't you just say bullet ball extreme?
Maybe. I don't remember.
All right.
I don't.
All right. you know, you can make sure you can sponsor the show, support the show by going to tweakedaudio.com. And getting you some nice headphones. All you have to do, go to tweakedaudio.com, pick you out a nice set of earbuds. They got all kinds of headphones. They got the over-the-ear kind, under-the-ear, wrap-around. I like the Hegones or Hegane. I don't know how you pronounce them, but I like those the best. They fit comfortably in your ear. They come with a mic. So for the people who, you know, maybe you get a phone call, and that's why a lot of people use the proprietary headphones that come with the iPhones and stuff like that, because they have a mic built in. Well, so do all the tweaked audio headphones, or a lot of them have the mic built in. And in addition to, you know, this nice sweet set of headphones, you also get a discount when you use code TBGWT. You get 33% off, and you also get free shipping and a lifetime guarantee. So you really can't beat it. It's a steal. And if something happens, boom, you just send it in, get you a new pair of headphones. Worst case scenario that I've heard so far is if a certain type of damage isn't covered, they still give you 50% off your next headphones. It's like, you know, you can't lose.
Mm-mm.
So make sure you guys go to tweakedaudio.com and put in code TBGWT to reap the benefits of that. All right. Spring is in the air, everybody. I know everybody's feeling good. A little warm outside.
Unless you got allergies.
I mean, well, with spring being in the air, there's another thing in the air. Tree jizz.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Tree sperm all over cars, all in your nostrils.
That's what pollen is?
Yeah, it's just tree sperm. Trees are some freaks, Karen. Just one big old deciduous bukkake going on all the time.
I wish they would have consented. They don't even get no consensual. It's just like, yeah, you got it. You're like, I didn't ask for this.
Trees don't care. They just skeet, skeet, skeet. As soon as it warms up, they just, phew. We got a dogwood tree by our cars, man. The car stay covered in pollen now.
Right. Ain't no reason in Washington now. And I feel bad because some people, you know, certain things trigger their allergy. A lot of people, boy, they look like they've been punched in the face. They've been crying all day. Their face all puffed up.
Yeah, I bet tree orgasm take forever. Because, you know, they live long and slow. They never move. Like, soon as spring happens, they probably be like, oh, yes.
Holding on to this all winter.
all in your face, all just looking at everybody.
Take it whether you want it or not. Here, you get some, and you get some, and you get some too.
It's like the tree Wesley Pipes and shit. Make it nasty. Put some of this on your windshield. Yeah, turn that bitch
over.
All
in your face, all up your nose.
Look at me, Carl. Look at me.
I'm the captain now.
So that's cool, you know. Then you go out to eat in the spring, people sitting outside. Mm-hmm. We went to the brunch spot. It was kind of crowded, had to wait.
I was jumping,
wait to get a table.
Yeah, we normally go later.
Yeah, normally we go, it's not that many people there in the afternoon, but now this springtime, everybody's outside, everybody's crowding the brunch spot. Mm-hmm. You know, it was weird though, because we had to wait. And you know, you go up there and give them your last name, and they get your phone number now, so they text you. Mm-hmm. When it's time to get up there, which is a neat little twist. It was kind of wild, because even with them texting us, they still call out the names. So it's, you know, Dahmer, Party of Three, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was me and Karen sitting there, and we're the only black couple in, like, waiting. Like there's other couples in the restaurant, but we're the only black couple waiting, but there's a bunch of people waiting to be sat. And I heard the hostess come out. It was a black lady, and she's like, Jackson, party of two. Jackson, party of two, looking directly at us.
I was like, no, ma'am, we not Jackson.
Right. And so I was like, okay, I know low key you thought that cause we black. Mm-hmm. Like it's no white Jacksons, you know? And then, so then she walked off, and then, like a second later, a white dude came up. Jackson party or two? Like maybe we didn't hear him.
And look right straight at him like, y'all don't know y'all last names.
Right. I'm like, man, I know my last name ain't Jackson. Damn. I'm gonna suddenly turn to a Jackson in the last 10 seconds. Oh, you know what? I forgot I was a nigga. Yes, I'm Jackson. We'll take that table.
Right.
I told people about that on Facebook, and they was like, well, did you take the table? I was like, no, that's like black on black crime. I'm assuming the Jacksons were black wherever they were at. I don't know it for sure.
I know. They come up there, hey, you're the wrong blacks. Sorry, we think you all look the same.
Yeah, like what happens when they do that? Can they come get your seat, like when you go to a basketball game and sit in somebody else's seat where they got tickets? Can they just come up and be like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm gonna need you guys to get out of these seats. The Jacksons are here, and
the real Jacksons.
They will be eating your omelets. I'm sorry. Yeah. Just leave the food on the table. They'll finish off the orange juice. Thanks, sir.
We gotta kick it out.
Right. But yeah, so I didn't take the table, and I waited. And we got up in a couple minutes anyway. So I think we have to revisit something you talked about this weekend, yesterday.
Okay, what's up?
Boot camp.
Oh Lord, I'm still hurting from boot camp. You know what? I feel like I played the game of Zelda. And for those of you that have played Zelda similar open world games, you know how on the games they allow you to go anywhere you want to go. But if you go somewhere your ass ain't got no business going, you're gonna get fucked up in the paint. Mm-hmm. It go like, yeah, you can come on in here, bitch, but this dragon gonna kill you in like one breath. Bring your ass in here if you want to. And I ain't know I wasn't leveled up high enough. And I walked my ass in there, and I am hurting y'all real bad.
Yeah, she definitely on 1.5 star hearts.
Yes.
Her sword can't shoot no more.
Mm-mm. All the arrows gone.
All the arrows are gone, because I've been helping Karen up like an old lady now.
It ain't my thighs and my midsection is like, oh, you thought we was kidding, bitch. No, we really hurting.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because after a hard workout, you forget. Well, I'm assuming, you know, when you're a little bit younger, people just pop back anyway.
Yeah, you do.
But you forget when you get older that the hard part of the workout isn't really the first day. Mm-mm. It's like the second and third days of working out. Like, that's when the real sore stiffness and muscles, the acid in your muscles get all jacked up, you know, all of a sudden you get a little bit, get that stiffness, that burn, you know, that all of a sudden you can't Move is good,
man. I didn't realize how real it was. And shit, I might have to take my old ass Epsom salt bath again, because shit, man, I messed around and dropped something on the floor and I almost fucking cried. I was like, oh no, I don't want to get it. No, fuck this, that bitch got to stay on the ground.
Yeah, I remember like whenever I lift weights every once in a while, but whenever I lift weights, I always feel like so good after the first day that I'm like, man, I don't know why I don't lift weights all the fucking time. I should just be in there every day lifting weights, man. This feels good. This, you know, I feel strong. It only took one day, 2 days, and then like I go back the next day like, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. And then it's always like the day after that that my arms be like, man, fuck you. Be sitting at my computer trying to type, my arms be like folded up like T-Rex arms and shit. Like, damn, this is a bad idea. I don't think I was supposed to go that hard. I probably should have took it a little easier if I knew what I was gonna be doing, you know. But when you first get in, you know, you're so motivated and you just,
and I was,
you know, I can do anything,
right? I believe I can fly, right? Your body be like, bitch, you can't.
And I didn't have anybody yelling at me, so it probably was worse for you.
And the thing is, like I said, while I was doing the activities, I was actually fine. Like I was moving around and shit like that, but you know, it's like when your body, when you realize you have muscles that you didn't know you had, and your body was like, hey, these muscles have always been here, but you have never activated us. It was like activation on. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, well, you know, now you know what it feels like. You can adjust accordingly.
Oh yeah, you know what, I'm going on easy level. I'm lowering my level. My fucking level was too high. Lower that bitch.
You had to fight the boss.
Right.
The boss level all too early.
I got in that shit, it was like hard. I was like, wait a minute, you didn't tell me I could lower it.
Yeah, I've been
what an easy mode.
Been helping Karen on and off of this couch lately.
Man, I sit my ass down, the party over.
But you know, that just means you got a good workout, you know, it means you're doing the right things. No pain, no gain is what they say, Karen. So you're gonna have a whole lot of gain now. You've been looking kind of painful the last couple of days.
And if you say so, but you know, I mean, I don't know what to think. All I know is my body is hurting.
Yeah. Well, you just got to take it, you know, maybe build back up to it. Take some classes at the Y, work yourself back up to boot camp, because it sounds like that was for some pretty hardcore people.
I think so, too. And my thing is, I'm at quit boot camp. But right. I'm gonna go back to the white folks in the Zumba class and shit like that until I can build my way back up, because that boot camp was like, that boot camp, it was like you ain't had no business bring your ass over here to the castle yet.
Yeah, I remember we had weight training class in college. Me and John, we used to be in there, and we used to work out with this dude that was in the military. We didn't work out with him, really. It was more like he came to work out with us, because me and John was on about the same level, you know. We just be over there like, oh man, put 225s on it or something, you know, trying to bench press like 150 to 200 pounds at the most. And you know, that would be it for a kind of a light day. We just, you know, we lift a little bit, then we go run. We had to run a mile every day. And then after that, you can go home. But it was this one dude that was like a hardcore military dude, because what happens is Fayetteville is a military town.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's like, he's not like 22 and a military guy. He's like 30, but he's in tip top fucking shape. Like, he looks like a weightlifter. Like, you know, they was going to send him to kill like Bin Laden or some shit. He used to come over there and be like, hey man, throw a couple more 45s on each side. And we'd be like, what? Yeah, throw a couple more 45s. I'm like, nigga, that's like an extra 180 pounds, man. We can't do that shit. Like, you gonna be the only one doing it. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna work in with y'all. I'm like, man, we used to get more of a workout putting the weights on and off of his big ass.
Then y'all like to do the workout. He was like, yeah, I hope you spotting yourself, because if this bitch fall, you in trouble, because we can't get it all.
Right. I was like, the only way to spot you is John got to get aside. I got to get aside. Like, don't, if this shit slip, you just gonna die. That's all that's gonna happen. Me and John gonna watch you die. That's, I'm spotting you dying. That's what I'm gonna be. Hey, I spot something. I spot this nigga choking it down.
Right, cause this is before cell phone. So, you know, something happened to your ass. You got to go to the telephone.
Yeah, I was just like, I mean, it was other people in the class, but it was just a matter of like, you know, and then like, it was such a pain with him working out with us. Cause then it's like, he would, you know, come over and like me and John would lift our little bitch weights, you know, thinking we doing something. We'd be happy like, man, I got up to 185 today, man. I see you, player. Yeah, you look kind of good. Then he'll come over there and be like, y'all put two more 45s on there. We like, god damn, put one more 25 on there too. I'm like, what? The bar look like a fucking V now. Oh, like an upside down V. And he'll just be like, all right. That was the other thing. He lift weights and he be making these big,
he'd be
like
grunting.
Like, clink, clink, clink. That's all you hear. And then he'd be like, ah, like we had to put him back up. And then it'd be our turn to go in. And just like, all right, now let me take 110 pounds off of weight off of each side. And then,
we'll be get ready back to go.
Get back to my shit.
Well, shit, you better than me. I was having a hard time, with the, kettlebells or cowbells, whatever they call them.
Kettlebells.
Kettlebells. And, them bitches, they had like, I didn't realize the different colors was different weights. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to pick the wrong one up. I was like, how much is this? 25? Can't do no 25 pounds. She was like, the lightest one is 10. I was like, I can do 10. That's 5 pounds a piece.
Me and John was too silly to lift weights with him anyway. Cause like, whenever it would be our turn, cause he used to be like, when he was lifting weights.
I'm trying to be
but
laughing.
But then when it was me and, yeah, we would be laughing, right. But I mean, we would laugh in front of him cause we were scared of him.
Right.
But then when it was our turn, we'd be like, one, two. Then he'll be like, oh, y'all some clowns. Y'all funny. But he would be dead serious. Like, y'all now get in there and do it. Come on now. You sure you don't want to do no more? You don't want to do no? I'm like, man, bro, I'm not majoring in weightlifting. This is business, administration, concentration in banking and finance.
Right. Like,
I don't think I'm going to have to do any of this shit at Wachovia, Bank of America. I mean, First Union, if I go to First Union and they say, listen, put two more 45s on each side, I walk out the interview. I'm okay.
What? This interview is fucking officially over.
Yeah, I'll be okay, man. But yeah, that's you get sore the next day, man. You know?
And it ain't it's real. And the thing is, like the front part of my thigh, the rest of my body is okay, but the front part of my thigh, like my it kind of the inner abdomen's per
abdomen.
Se. Your abdomen.
Well, if it's in your leg, if it's the front part of your thigh, that's not, I mean, that's, I think your quadriceps.
I don't know.
And then I think it's your quadriceps. And then your abdomen, of course, is your stomach area.
Yeah. And so that's what's been getting me, man. And I've been, walking around and be trying to watch, you know, me walking around. Cause it's like, yeah, I won't fuck around and walk around too fast and fall or some shit and lay on the ground and be like, I'm okay. Keep walking.
I know. Like you fall now, you just lay there for a while.
I goddamn it. I sure will. I will lay there.
You need some help? Nah,
I'm good. Give me about a smooth 15 minutes. I can, let me get to this wall. I push myself back up.
Just gonna stay here and die.
I'm okay right here. Well, one thing I did learn some cool new exercises. Mm-hmm. I did get.
Why'd you say exercises with a question mark?
what they exercises? But I'm gonna modify them bitches because I was, you know, I'm like, we can't be doing all that thing. Like she had the step thing that you do your for your step class, the big thing. Because I got one here at the house, and she was doing shit that I didn't know you could do with it. You actually put your hands on it, and you can hop from one side to the other. You can do shit where you can put your feet up on it, you know. You can do shit where you can lift yourself off of it. I was like, nah, I've had this bitch for years, and all I did with my ass was doing was stepping on it. I guess I ain't been using this right.
Get that knowledge, man. That's what you're there for.
No, that's true. That's true. I did learn that, but yeah, the kid, she in a lot of pain. So yeah, I'm going to level down, and I don't care nothing about looking like no bitch for not going back again for a while. I don't care nothing about that.
Well, I don't blame you. Yeah, you can always do the Zumba and stuff, like the more low impact stuff, so that you don't have to, you know, be dead for the next 2 days.
Yeah, I let them other folks do that high impact. My body ain't built for that. And I know it's one of them things.
Well, you can work yourself up to it. I'm not saying right. It's impossible or anything, but, you know, it's like anything. If you just jump into something at the highest level, you're going to always be, like, a bit overwhelmed. And honestly, this shit ain't no Rocky movie. You know, it's not just
hell no.
You know, get fucked up every day. It's like, well, I got a job, I got a life, I got you know, I can't be you know, going to work out on Saturday and out of commission till Wednesday. That's right, you know,
that's unrealistic.
I ain't Michael B. Jordan. I can't eat egg shakes in the morning and shit.
Right. And there was no dun 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 dun. Dun. Mm-mm. Didn't none of that happen? Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's funny, man. You put a montage music behind a workout, it's not that bad. But in real life, no music. They don't tell you that in the movies.
They don't tell you no music, and they don't tell you that they do stuff like put their bodies in fucking cold ice water to get their muscles back. They don't tell you about the muscle milk there, because that's the thing. I fucked around and didn't drink no muscle milk. That's why I'm hurting too.
Yeah, I'm sure it didn't help, but you would have been hurting no matter what. You went from not doing anything to going out there and trying to jump in with the fucking CrossFit crew. So,
and them CrossFit people was like, I don't think you belong here. I don't think I belong here either.
All right, let's talk about some LGBTQ news. Let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me?
That's when you drop it down.
We could jam to that forever.
I clear.
But we have more news to talk about. Lesbian widow's lawsuit against FedEx for denial of benefits can proceed, says a judge. U.S. District Court Judge Phyllis Hamilton on Monday denied a request by FedEx to dismiss a lawsuit charging the company with denying benefits to a lesbian employee's widow solely because she is a woman. The National Center for Lesbian Rights reports Stacy Shute and Leslie Tabota Hall were together for 30 years before they married, June 19, 2013. In front of their two children and close family members and friends. The following day, Leslie, the family's primary breadwinner, died after a 3-year battle with uterine cancer.
Shit.
At the time of her death, she had been an employee of FedEx for more than 26 years and was fully vested in her pension. In January, Stacy, a stay-at-home mom to the couple's two children, filed a lawsuit against FedEx after it refused to provide her federally required spousal pension benefits because both spouses are women. But the judge was like, nah, the lawsuit can proceed.
Right, because if that was a man and she was a woman, you wouldn't have fought her over it, right? Mm-hmm. She'd have had that right to get it.
Right.
So let's say it's because of the same sex. So if it was a man and a man, would you fight, would they have fought them too?
Yeah, they would have fought the same. As long as FedEx refuses to provide the benefits because its pension plan incorporates the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. Even though that law was struck down as unconstitutional by the United States Supreme Court in United States versus Windsor on June 26, 2013. So they still said, well, this is what was in the in our benefits, the language that was in our benefits. So even though this law is unconstitutional and struck down, we already, you know, you already signed this paperwork.
Nah, you don't have a case on that one.
Mm-hmm. So yeah,
you can't be like, the laws have changed, but fuck that, because they don't want to pay, because they probably have to pay a lot. That's a long time, a lot of money.
Yeah, it's funny too, because you know these companies have to, you know, they have to deal with the EEOC. They talk a good game about diversity and not discriminating, and then boom, here's a situation where you could just simply do the right thing. Let's be honest, what the fuck are you gonna do with her pension money, you know?
Right, other than goddamn keep it.
So you know, it's funny they get to the situation and they're like, nope, fuck that, we're keeping the money and we're not giving it to you because you're a lady, you got a vagina and she had a vagina, and now you can't have this money.
Sue, and I hope they fucking win. That's and stuff like shit that make you mad, because it's like, well, she's probably one of the few people that stays at companies that long. Most people don't stay at companies no 20, 30 years anymore. That you know, people don't do that. And so odds are, it's a lot of money. And they're using this as an excuse not to pay. I believe they looked at that dollar amount and was like, well, goddamn, let's find a way not to pay.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, morally, the company probably really doesn't give a fuck about gay marriage or not.
Nope.
But what's funny is it was a tool they could use to not pay somebody.
Right.
And they do give a fuck about that. So as a corporate entity, I'm sure they made that decision like, oh, why don't we just not pay these motherfuckers? Here's a way we can not pay them. And it's like, well, this is struck down, and morally and legally, you really don't have a case that you used to have. Yeah, but we'd rather keep this $60,000 or whatever the fuck, you know?
Right, because they wanted to continue to grow interest. They want to hold on to it as long as they can. Like, they're going to have to pay. They know they're going to have to pay, but they don't give a fuck. They're going to try to get as much interest off of whatever amount that she has as long as they can, while they can. And a lot of corporations do this when they go, yeah, we owe you the money, but we're going to hold on to it for extra 6 months just because we can.
I actually think it's bigger than that, Karen. I think this probably represents everybody who signed this, any employee of theirs who would be in a same-sex marriage. They don't want to have to pay them, because at this point they're probably going to court. There's probably legal fees and shit that are more costly than even whatever this pension would have been.
Right.
You know, so at this point you got to wonder if it's really about setting precedent so that, hey, these other people signed the same deal, and if any of them turn out to be in a same-sex marriage, we don't want to pay them either.
Right. That's why they need to sue and lose, so that everybody will have a fair right, because it's not fair. Mm-hmm. It's just like she had the means to or the financial help to sue, but a lot of people have. It wouldn't surprise me that other people faced this before, and they was like, "Fuck it, a little bit of money ain't worth the fight."
Right. How many people have gotten that paperwork and just went, "I don't know how to fight this. Right. I don't have the resources or the money. And I just can't do it on my own."
Because I guarantee you, they ain't the first people they've turned down, because they said this with no qualms. So odds are they've said this, they've shucked and drive this before, and people's like, oh, okay. But she was like, nope, fuck that, I want my money.
A humiliated transgender passenger was forced to remove a prosthetic penis by the airport security.
Why?
A transgender passenger has revealed he felt demeaned when he was forced to remove his prosthetic penis while going through airport security. The man was subjected to a full body scan at the airport, thought to be in Australia, after which a staff member donned two pairs of gloves and handled the penis, saying, "You want me to touch that thing with my bare hands?" The incident, which allegedly took place in 2015, is the subject of a complaint made via the National LGBTI Health Alliance in Australia, to a Senate committee inquiring on airport and aviation security. The LGBTI Health Alliance released a statement noting its worries over the climate of pervasive discrimination against LGBTI populations. According to the passenger, the body scan alerted security staff to the prosthetic he was wearing. He told the Daily Mail Australia, "I explained to the officer at the scanner that I'm trans and that I was wearing a prosthetic, to which he responded that he would need to get a supervisor. He added that the staff member seemed more concerned with displaying his authority and making a spectacle out of the situation. The private search, he says, was demeaning and unnecessary and left him feeling anxious as he was taken to a small room and given a form to sign. After the search, he says he was forced to put his prosthetic back in black, with two staff members watching him. Back in black. I don't know what that means.
I guess put it back on.
Oh, okay. He stated that the ordeal made him feel like a criminal, adding, I've had to deal with some very confronting situations in the past, so I have developed a thick skin, but this experience overshadowed what was meant to be a holiday and has left me feeling incredibly degraded and has made me anxious about traveling. Yeah, you know, the question I have is, what was their reasoning? Like, what's the security threat?
It's not one. The thing, maybe it's just me and the way I look at it. When it comes to the security stuff, they just have really, put it like this. When you have the security stuff, you're not paying these people a lot of money, and they have the most stupid and fucking ridiculous ass rules. If the person told you up front what it was, mm-hmm. why would you go through it? And the thing is, like, you're scanning them, so don't the scanner show you that it's not real?
Yeah,
I mean, maybe that's just me. Like,
I don't get it. Like, did a bomb dog sniff the person?
Right. He's not gonna pull it out and use it as a weapon. I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't pick up a weapon on the person, I don't understand what. I mean, is that what they think the next attack is gonna be? It's just gonna be. I don't get it.
That and on top of that is they have a lot of people, put like this, when people get in authoritative positions, like TFA is quote unquote somewhat authority over the airport, mm-hmm. so they have a right to stop and frisk and all this shit, and it's just one of those things where people take whatever their personal beliefs and shit is and try to force them on to other people because they quote unquote can, because if you'd have met anybody else, I'm pretty sure he has traveled before and have not had a problem before. They'd be like, oh, okay, cool, dog. Keep it pushing. You know, it's like, why did you choose to be the one to go through this? And then something had to be wrong with you, but I got to get my supervisor. For what? For why?
Yeah, that's just another headache, too, that, you know, somebody has to wake up and, you know, all the things we worry about with travel, and it's just another example of like, and I gotta be worried about this shit too.
Right.
What if they try to make me take off my prosthetic penis because they decide that I look like a terrorist now? There's a new Indiana bill that aims to fine trans people for using the wrong quote unquote bathroom. Determine what's the wrong bathroom and how the fuck right. would you know? Or have any business knowing. You know, I don't like the way that lady is walking. Pretty sure she's gonna get a fine. A new bill introduced in Indiana late last year would fine and imprison transgender people who use public restrooms and locker rooms that don't match the gender listed on their birth certificate. So is everybody carrying around their birth certificate? Is that the thing?
Right.
Are we gonna be checking transgender people for their papers now? You know, and straights. I mean, of course, straight people are going to have the papers just in case. You never know. You know, how you going to know about transgender unless you check my papers and see what my birth certificate says? Nobody carries their birth certificate on them all the time. Chris Paulson, the campaign manager for Freedom Indiana, explained to the HuffPo, HuffPo Live's Aljana Minkowski on Monday that the bill would force trans people to prove their chromosomes before being allowed access to a bathroom. It is the farthest reaching bill that we've seen nationwide in regards to transgender bathroom use. So basically, it's lining up the potty police to stand at doors of the bathroom, which we think is just ridiculous. You know what else is wild about this? Like, we're all adults. We are, this seems like the kind of thing that when you're in first or third grade or some shit that you're like, ooh, you can't. Go to the pint bathroom with me. Yeah, can't be in here.
A lot of discrimination. You don't look right. That's what that boiled down to. You don't look right.
Yeah. This is so, it seems like such a childish thing to try to keep people out of these areas.
Yeah, you're wasting fucking time.
We all go pee and poop. you know, it's like, oh, I can't wait in there to get in there and smell some shit. Woo.
Right.
That's really what, oh, finally freedom, you know. The bill was, of course, introduced by Republican State Senator Jim Tomes. Jim Tomes, it sounds like his name could work either way. It could be Jim Tomes, Tim Jones, you know. Anyway, Jim Tomes would also affect students at schools. Paulson said this directly violates Title IX, which prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex in federally funded education programs and activities. We believe that transgender women are women and they should be in the women's room. Paulson said transgender men are men and they should be in the men's room. It would lead to bad health consequences, and we just don't see that there's any need for a bill like this. What's funny is how much would people freak out if a person that outwardly appears to be identifying as male walks into a female bathroom, because that's the gender that they were assigned on birth. How quickly would this whole thing fall apart? Because then all of a sudden people are like, a man went into a woman's bathroom. It's like, well, you told me I had to go here.
Right.
Well, you can't be in there. What are you going to do in there? Pee or poop, probably. You know?
Number one and number two. Mm-hmm.
But the point being, like, they haven't even thought this through. I think what it's really about is shaming people mm-hmm. for being different and being like, we all know you're different. And what they're really trying to do is make a punitive shame on people who have this, you know, who are in these bodies, so that they'll be like, oh, let me just keep dressing and identifying as the gender I was born, that way I won't stick out and nobody can like shame me. Because I'm assuming the second that a person goes to the bathroom and it's quote unquote the wrong bathroom, people are all supposed to like be like, oh, look at them, you know.
Yeah, as long as you don't touch me, I don't care. Most people ain't gonna touch you. We all grown.
Are they just gonna go to like LGBTQ clubs and like hang out and be like, wrong bathroom, buddy. That's a fine. That'll be $500.
And my thing, who are these people that go into the bathroom looking at other people trying to figure out what your sexuality is? I'm just coming in here to piss.
Yep. The Westboro Baptist Church is back in the news.
These niggas.
They are boycotting the gay player in NCAA tourney. Well, a gay player, let's be honest. Nobody really knows how many people are gay or not gay in the tournament.
True.
When the first openly gay man to play in the NCAA tournament takes the court in Denver on Thursday, the Westboro Baptist Church have vowed to be there to picket. Seton Hall's Derek Gordon went public about his sexual orientation roughly 2 years ago, but this is the first year he'll be playing in the biggest tournament in college basketball. Yo, how does the Westboro Baptist Church keep up on this? Like, they get a mm-hmm. Google alert.
They got too much free time on their hands. And my question is this: if you busy protesting, not trying to be funny, whose souls are you trying to save, sweetie? Because you're too busy telling everybody they're going to hell.
That's how they save souls. They tell you going to hell, then you get scared and you act right.
It don't work. That technique don't work.
It works on some people. Fire and brimstones with the collar, Karen. Most people are hailing it as a triumph, but the Westboro Baptist Church says it's an abomination. Satan-inspired media loves to stoke his rebellion, but will protest at March Madness. They added March Madness. Westboro Baptist Church is like, I still want these retweets. At March Madness for Derek Gordon, the church tweeted. So far, Gordon hasn't responded. Seems he's too busy focused on the actual game.
Right.
Can't blame him.
And people like these is why they have to make them rules and shit saying that you fucking can't show up to people's funeral goddamn protesting within so many feet.
Yep. Let's see what else happened. How about this one? High school coach, keeping it sports related.
Mm-hmm.
A high school coach resigns amid his No Gay Thursday hazing.
Oh shit. Oh, this was a week of the ritual?
Seems so. A high school football coach in suburban Philadelphia has resigned amid accusations that three senior football players sexually assaulted a freshman on what the team called No Gay Thursday.
Oh.
Three 17-year-old Conestoga High School students faced charges that they held down a 14-year-old boy in October and penetrated him with a broom handle. but I'm pretty sure in the stereotypes that these guys have of what gay is, messing with somebody's butt,
come on dog,
putting an object in it, how's that against being gay? I don't understand the rules.
Me either. For the locker room and for a lot of sports, and we hear about these stories break all the time where there's rituals and they kind of haze people in, and you go, well, dog, for all y'all to be gay, y'all do a lot of butt shit.
Yeah, I think sports is like the last bastion of really rape culture. Like, as far, not last, but it's the most prominent and assertive. Like, you can rape somebody if you play on a sports team in some of these towns, and that's business as usual,
right?
Including your own teammates. Because sticking a broom handle up somebody's ass that they didn't want, that's rape,
right?
And there was 3 17-year-olds holding out a 14-year-old that when they did this. Prosecutors say they have no evidence the coaching staff knew of the teen's hazing culture, but school district officials said Thursday the locker rooms had an insufficient adult presence that created an environment where hazing could occur. The district said in a letter that a longtime head football coach, John Vogan, had resigned, and that the varsity and junior varsity football staff have been relieved of coaching duties. So there you go. Yeah, sitting around, no gay Thursdays, so right. Let's put some shit up each other's asses.
And what's fucked up, there are a lot of dudes that have played sports and have never had this problem at all. So it's one of those things where you go, well, what the fuck is wrong with these people?
Yeah. Somewhere he's at his next school, he's going to be like, you know, I'm so against gay people. All right, everybody, pull your dicks out. Let's do it. Let's get to sucking and fucking. That's no gay Friday. Everybody's going to go down on each other. And lastly, first transgender person appointed White House primary LGBT liaison.
Good.
Yep. Rafi Friedman Gerspan has been appointed by President Obama as the primary LGBT liaison for the White House. She is the first transgender person in the role. Mara Kesling, executive director of the National Center for Transgender Equality, released the following statement. Rafia is a great choice. President Obama has said he wants his administration to look like America, and they have moved to include trans Americans. Rafi's skills and personality make her the exact right person for this important job. Previously, Rafi was a policy advisor at the National Center for Transgender Equality and legislative director in the Massachusetts House of Representatives. Rafi's new position represents a tremendous move toward a more diverse political American body.
Mm-hmm. Ain't this the job that Caitlyn trying to get?
That who?
Caitlyn.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what job Caitlyn trying to get. For Trump, you mean? Or whoever it was, a Cruz?
Mm-hmm.
No idea. I don't know what the fuck Caitlyn doing. To be honest with you.
But the position that open, baby.
Caitlyn shit don't make no sense to mm-hmm. me.
I want a job that don't exist. Hire me. But we're not hiring.
One day we're going to look up. Caitlyn going to be on Fox News as like the LGBTQ version of Stacey Dash, and
mm-hmm.
everybody's just gonna be like, that makes complete fucking total perfect sense.
Yes, it does.
That will happen because she's a piece of work.
Level.
All right, let's get to some other news. On top of that, $115 million that Hulk Hogan won,
mm-hmm.
he got another $25 million in punitive damages today, bringing the total to $140 million for them releasing his sex tape.
Mm-hmm. Don't do that bullshit. Yes, he's a racer. Yes, he's a piece of shit, but you don't do that.
Yep. Pretty simple lesson there.
Right.
I'm sure they're going to continue to fight it, but that's a lot of money. What else happened here? Oh, there's this terrible story about voter ID in our state, North Carolina. There's a couple that went to vote in the primary.
Mm-hmm.
They were brown. And I believe the man went on his own first. And he went to go vote. He gave his driver's license to a poll worker. He says he kept it face down and ordered me to spell my name. Although I go by Rudy, my legal name is Ruja Vajahala. In order to save time, I requested that he look up my ID. He said, "You gotta spell it." So I took a deep breath and began R-U-D. During the encounter itself, there followed a scene reminiscent of an old literacy test administered by someone who might have had their own problems at passing it. So basically, you know what a literacy test is?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, back in the day, they used to have all this bullshit to keep people from voting. They wanted to basically keep black people from voting. And they had
poor
like...
poor whites.
Huh?
And poor whites, because a lot of times they flunk these tests too.
Right. Poor white people get caught up in the mix, but it was more to keep black people from voting.
Right.
Just because poor white people got caught in something doesn't mean they're the target of it at all.
Correct.
So they had these literacy tests. They had these grandfather laws. And all this stuff, you know, grandfather laws. If your grandfather voted in an election, then you can vote in an election. It's like, so if you're black, no black people could vote back then, so you still can't vote.
Right.
And then the literacy law, which is just sometimes you just look at this country and you're like, that sounds so silly and stupid. I can't believe that happened, and it did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why you look at the shit that happens today. You look at Trump leading these, you know, this party and some of the racist shit going around, and you just have to be like, this is why you need to know the history, because nothing's new. It's all the same shit.
Yes, it is. And some of these literacy tests are so hard that they would give it to college students and they would fucking flunk these tests.
Yeah, but so basically he repeated after me and typed each letter, Ravindra wrote in the News and Observer. When he typed a B instead of a D, I had to correct him. It's not a B, it's a D for dog. This farce went on for a while. Each time he made a mistake, I patiently corrected. Meanwhile, voters in adjacent lines came and went briskly. I heaved a sigh of relief when he finally entered my mouthful of a name into his computer, appeared at the monitor, and then I had to pronounce it. And when he tried it, he couldn't get it right.
what the fuck is this?
Right. Meanwhile, you have the ID,
right?
And you're just keeping it face down. You could have just
flipped it over and looked at the bitch.
Yep. You don't have to, like, you as a poll, as the person at the poll who gets people in, you don't have to know how to pronounce somebody's name. It's not part of your job at all.
It's not your job to find a fucking fraud,
right? It's spelled this way. It's, well, I don't know about finding a fraud, but I know this. It's spelled a certain way, and the fucking ID says a certain way. If they match up, that's the end of it.
Right.
You know, you don't get to go further than that. And then he said, so the next day he took his wife, but he took her to a different person at a different polling station because he didn't want to go through the same shit. But same thing happened to her. Keeping the ID face down, he asked her to spell the name and pronounce it just before all the white voters were able to pass easily.
This sounds like some shit that they told them to do. I'm not trying to be funny. Or because if you go to a different polling place, they doing the same bullshit, or is everybody fucking racist? I don't understand this.
Right. They probably thought, are you from Syria? You know, I know y'all trying to get in. So, yeah. But hey, it's just coincidence probably, right?
No.
No? Okay. All right. Karen says no. There's now a dating site for polyamorous couples.
Cool.
What did I say? Couples?
People.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Polyamorous couples. That doesn't even make sense.
No, that doesn't. I mean,
it's the opposite of that.
You mean couples of couples?
Right. It's called okay, Cupid.
We get you, Cupid.
but yeah, polyamorous people can also find partners on dating site created just for them. According to OkCupid's data, interest in polyamory is on the rise. In 2010, 32% of the site users said they date someone in an open relationship. In 2015, that number climbed to 42%, and 27% said they consider an open relationship themselves. Wow, that's a lot. People are being more open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
With less than half saying they'd only be in a monogamous one, that helps explain why openminded.com launched last year. Over 36,000 people joined within the first week. The concept of monogamy is outdated, and monotony has pushed many relationships to take a turn for the monogamish, said Open Minded founder CEO Brandon Wade.
It's not all full swap swinging or poly lifestyles. Open relationships can be found among even the most vanilla couples. He added that open-minded is not a hookup site or a cheating site, but a place for polyamorous people to find meaningful relationships that all the parties involved consent to. Yeah, because you have to be careful because all the stigmas around that is like, these people just cheating and shit like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I'll make sure to sign up tonight.
Get out here, telling me something?
Get polyamorous on they ass.
Something I need to know?
No. I'll let you know when you need to know.
I mean, because you ain't picking on your own. We picking together.
Right.
We got to be in agreement.
Just come home with some strange
random
person. I'm just gonna come home and be like, we trying to get this money or anything. Be like, yes, come on in, Cardi. I'm trying to save you. Mm-mm. Be a part of this good credit. A white police officer has pled guilty to shooting an unarmed black man. Sean Grobert, 32, pleaded guilty to an assault and battery of a high and aggravated nature Monday from the 2014 shooting that he could spend up to 20 years in prison for.
Ain't this the one they filmed and they was like, nah, nothing happened, and they had to retract once the video came out?
I think that was the Walter Scott shooting. This is different.
Okay.
This is one, honestly, man, this is the one that scares me even more than Walter Scott. And I don't mean this to say like any victim is less of a victim or more of a victim, right? But like, this scares me even more than that. This is the one where the guy asked him to he wanted to see his license. Mm-hmm. And the black man, LeVar Jones, got out of the car. He was said to not be wearing a seatbelt, but from my understanding, his car was already parked, so I don't know why you need to wear a seatbelt. But he got out. The officer told him to get his license. He turned around to grab his license, and then the cop opened fire. And that was the one where he was actually telling him, like, why did you shoot me? He said, well, you dove head first back into the car. And he goes, I'm sorry. But he didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing to be sorry about, you know? And he just turned around and got shot. He received $285,000 as settlement from the state, and the cop was fired, and now he faces prison time. But you know, that it was just such, I just remember that shooting almost more than any other really chilled me to my bone, because it's just, not that I believe in it, but it was everything that I was taught growing up,
right?
About cooperating with the cops, don't ask questions, don't get an attitude.
They're fucking you up and you still apologizing.
Yeah, and they shoot you, and as they're shooting you're apologizing to them, and they're wrong, you know? But you just want to live. I'm not judging this man. Nope. I wouldn't judge anybody, but it's just such a scary fucking thing to think about. Really. Massachusetts police are warning people of men roaming the street looking to start rap battles. That's right. The police in Massachusetts, in the town of Charlton, have told residents to keep their eyes peeled for men looking to challenge pedestrians to rap battles. According to the police, a black SUV full of men in their late teens or early 20s pulled up to three teenage boys last Saturday. One of the men, described as having brown hair and a pale complexion, wearing a gray t-shirt, gray pants, and open-toed sandals. Oh, these some white people. Got out the vehicle and started rapping while the other men asked the boys if they wanted to spit some bars with them. When the boys declined, the SUV drove off. Why are the police warning people of that?
Hey, yo, you want to do a rap battle right here, right now, dog?
This town must have, like, nothing going on that this became news.
And the Griffith Town,
you know, just like, oh man, we careful of the rap bandits. They come out and, are they robbing people? No, they trying to make people freestyle.
Yes, I don't know how to freestyle.
And then what, they shoot them? No. They drive off if you say no. You politely decline.
right.
The police said the incident didn't appear to be an abduction attempt, but that the behavior was suspicious. Anyone with information is asked to ask to contact the police, although another advisable course of action might be to brush up on. Oh, that was trying to be sassy. Well, yeah, that's motherfuckers out there spitting bars and shit.
What did they do? Somebody accepts the challenge.
Right. I know.
And they wouldn't even read it. I was like, oh shit, we ain't got no music. We ain't expect nobody to actually say yes.
All right. Just roll out, on some kids.
They leave.
You know, everybody's thinking it's about to be, a motherfucking fight or something.
Right.
Or somebody about to get shot or something like that. And somebody just rolls up like, hey, yo, hey, yo. Like, hey, hold on, hold on. This is a bunch of white dudes and shit.
About to spit these 16 for you.
Right. Yeah, motherfucker. What's going on, kids? Like, sir, can you get back in the car?
Where did this loud music come from? What is happening here?
Put your sandals back on.
Right.
You a bitch, and I know because you on your tricycle. Like, I'm just a kid, man. I'll just get off them swings, ho.
I smacked that lollipop out your hand, fool. I'm like, what? Now you're making my children cry. Beat it, boy.
It's all good till they say the N-word.
Right.
All right, what else happened? Let's go to I did want to cover this. This is some good news. A 9-year-old Brooklyn girl is the youngest published chapter book author in U.S. history.
Hey, nine. What am I doing my goddamn life then?
9 years old. Woo. Her name is Anaya Lee Willibus. She's a 9-year-old girl from Brooklyn. Shout out to Brooklyn. She recently wrote and published her own book. She's the youngest person to publish a chapter book in U.S. history. Willibus, joined by her parents, talked more about the book, The Day Mohan Found His Confidence, and what inspired her to write it. And you can buy it on Amazon. And, of course, she's an adorable little black girl.
Aww.
That's right. Black girl magic continues into 2016, man. Mm-hmm. Getting stronger and stronger, but...
All right, thank you so much. Yeah. Another story, you got to hear this. Parents, seriously, sit down. And if your kids are still home, you don't want them to watch this too, okay? A 9-year-old Brooklyn girl has recently done something pretty extraordinary. She wrote her...
By the way, if you're a little kid right now, I know you're like, God damn, man, I can't even finish my homework.
All right.
And here you go, making me look bad.
I'm like, what's three times three again? Shit.
First book. Anaya Lee Willibus is the youngest published female author of a chapter book in U.S. history, and she's joining us live to talk about her book. Here it is. It's The Day Mohan Found His Confidence. Anaya is joined by her parents, Dimple and Winston. Good morning to all of you guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I got to tell you, I've been chatting with you. You are pretty amazing. So how's it feel to have a book actually in print, a chapter book, and to make history like this? What do you think?
It's amazing. It's,
yeah?
It's just so inspirational, not only for me, but for the other kids, and that's good.
Yeah, what's this book about?
The book is about a young boy named Mohan and the many challenges he faces at home and school, and it talks about how he overcomes them and how he learns that he can do anything with the help and support of his family and friends.
I'm listening to you, and I'm looking at you, and I gotta tell you, you're blowing my mind right now as I sit down in this chat with you, because you have so much composure and you're just so smart. Mom and Dad, I'm blown away by her. What do you guys say?
Well, we feel the same way. I mean,
when did you realize that your daughter had these special abilities here? I mean, because not every kid at 9 years old is writing a chapter book.
Well, she's always loved to read and write. My husband is a big advocate of reading and literacy, because our feeling is that reading is very fundamental, reading and writing and comprehension. So for him, he was big on making sure the kids learn to read at a very early age. Huh? And I started reading at 2 years old before she can speak clearly.
Oh, my goodness.
So right now we have a library at home that is maybe in excess of about maybe 300 to 400 that she read all of, including the Barack Obama.
Damn.
You know, Dreams of My Father, I Am Malala.
Oh, my goodness. So you were reading like...
All right. Let me just put it this way. What are you, like 30, 40 years old out there listening to this?
Like me.
You ain't shit.
I sure ain't.
How many books y'all published? Oh, zero? Nine. Zero? Oh, one less than this 9-year-old who's out here kicking ass at 9, writing whole books and everything?
I was a dummy. The baby reading that too.
I mean, maybe y'all need to step your game up, is what I'm saying.
I don't be like her when I grow up, shit.
And I ain't got no problems, you know, at 9, cranking them out, you know what I'm saying? Dropping books, inspiring the world.
Shit, 9, over 200 books.
You know, writing about Mohan, you know what I'm saying? Buy for your nieces and stuff, and then they can read it when they 2 years old, like she does, when she read Barack Obama's Dreams of My Father.
Right? I forgot. Come on, dog. Oh, my life is wasting away.
Yeah, yeah. We're all stupid.
Yes, we are.
Thought I was somebody doing this internet living.
Right, but, this podcast.
Now I'm starting to think maybe I ain't shit.
I need to rethink my life goals.
Yeah. All right, let's do some fucking with black people. But good for Anaya, man. Mm-hmm. That's just awesome, man. That black girl started a book club in Philly. Now you got Anaya. Like, mm-hmm. It's dope to see young people being so motivated. All right. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that's like the opposite of a 9-year-old writing a book. It's fucking with black people. The game that'll make you not want to do shit.
Mm-mm. Make you mad.
We read all the articles around the globe about people being fucked with that are black, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25, for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today, the contestants are everybody. All right, let's see who got the broken the news today. Here's one. You know, I'm typically against banning books and censoring too much knowledge for the youth, but we might need to ban a book because of the teachers. Huckleberry Finn. A white teacher got in trouble because they called a black student the N-word during her lesson on Huckleberry Finn.
Well, that makes no sense. It's in a book, but
this feels like an annual occurrence, though.
Did they read it and then look at like, yeah, you niggas like this nigga in the book? What's happening there?
Yeah, I feel like this happens more than enough that, like, we've covered this kind of story at least 2 or 3 times, and it's like, yeah. Maybe we skip over this book? Come on with some other ones. A high school student at a prestigious Boston public school says she was shocked when a white teacher allegedly approached her during a lesson and said, "What's up, my nigga?" It's like that episode of Boondocks. Oh, shit.
Then they go, "What's up, my nigga?"
I said nigga, not nigger.
Scooby-doo-boop-ba-ba-da.
It's different, you know. What's up, my nigga? What it be? You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, they knew better than that.
Fitting in with
what
the kids.
What I don't understand is that if it's so offensive to them, then why do they say it over and over again?
So Riley said the N-word before you did that morning.
He says it every morning. He calls me nigga. He calls the other kids nigga. He calls himself nigga all the time. Nigga this, nigga that. Nigga please. Bitch nigga. Nigga, have you lost your mind? Nigga, check that hoe. Nigga, you bullshitting. Break yourself, nigga. He says it so much, I don't even notice it anymore. Last week in lunch, Riley says to a classmate, "Can a nigga borrow a french fry?" And my first thought wasn't, "Oh my God, he said the word, the N-word." It was, "Now how is a nigga gonna borrow a fry? Nigga, is you gonna give it back?" I'm telling you, my inside voice didn't talk like that before he got in my class.
Maybe that's what happened.
I guess that's what happened.
Destiny Warnum, 16, added that the teacher followed up the slur with a question. She asked me how I felt. I said, "Honestly, I would probably be suspended because I wanted to get up and hit you." Warner recalled being one of 3 black students in the English class that day and being shocked when the teacher made her way over to her desk, blurted out the offensive question. "I'm looking at her like blank face because I didn't know what to say and I was at a loss for words." Warner said that after she responded to the question, her teacher laughed and that she never apologized. She laughed. According to Warner, the incident happened in October. We just now found out about it. During a Boston Latin School class discussion of the adventures of Huckleberry Finn, the Mark Twain novel is laden with the offensive word, and censored editions have prompted controversy over how the classic should be read and discussed today. Warnham didn't tell anybody what happened until January. She explained in a recent interview that she didn't speak out because I honestly didn't know how to handle it, because it was like, how do I approach my adult teacher in a situation like this?
Because she's a child.
Right. What would that mean for my grade? What would it mean for my future at BLS, Boston Latin School? Warnham added, I was in fear of what could happen because it's like I'm a girl from Dorchester and I ought to be grateful that I go to BLS. That's the way they make it seem. Warnham decided to come forward after other black students started discussing negative experiences at the school. That's another reason these talks are so important. When we like this generation and the people in it and the black people that are being more vocal, like, I love them so much, because all the things that have been afforded in social media spaces that we don't necessarily get in group settings, because typically white black people are in such a minority in so many places, mm-hmm. that you don't get to have these peer discussions. I love that we get to share our experiences and through that empower each other to change, because just like any group that, you know, just like a rape, like people, victims of rape, often it's other examples of people fighting other people experience, talking about their experiences, that get them to come forward and confront or discuss or move on or heal or whatever it takes. Well, the same thing would happen with race too. There's all kinds of kids who just like, I'm a black girl in Boston, this thing happened, there's only three other black kids in my class that saw it, fuck it, you know, I don't want to be that black person that right. caused some shit,
right.
so let me just shut the fuck up and move on with my day. And you know, I like that black people are you know, being encouraged to step up and be like, nah, and you're not alone, this has happened to a lot of us, and you know, we can step up to make people have to change the situations that are causing these things. Student members of the group BLS Black Leaders Aspiring to Change and Knowledge, for Change and Knowledge. Oh, it's a whole acronym. But hold up. Black is the acronym, right? BLACK. But then the first part of BLACK acronym is black.
Right.
That's so black. Oh shit. BLS Black. Black leaders aspiring for change and knowledge.
Right. We let you know you ain't gonna be able to run from it. It's all black.
That's so good. I love it. They encourage their peers to share their stories using the hashtag black at BLS. We are here to make our voices heard, to show BLS administration and everyone that we refuse to be silenced, and we're not afraid to speak up, said BLS senior and president of BLS Black, Maggie Noel, or Noel, in a video posted on YouTube. So that's dope, man. Appreciate people stepping up, and you know, appreciate her saying something. But as far as the original violation, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh yeah, 100. Yeah. Cause you did that to a child. I don't see you walking up to any the faculty doing that bullshit.
Yeah, I give it 100 too. Especially the part where she didn't apologize and she laughs about it. Like,
right, cause you thought the shit was funny and it's not.
Yeah, not cool at all, dog. Let's see what else we got here. How about this one? Jack Astor's, which is a bar, sent a waitress home because her hair was in a bun and she's black. Yeah, you know, that black hair bun is a little bit different.
A bun is a bun.
Apparently it's different on black women, Karen.
It against your code?
Well, you know, with white women, you take it out of the bun, just go, oh wait, hold on. Take it out of the bun, it just goes down, right?
Right.
All
right,
so.
What I got to do with it at the time?
My natural hair. I took it out for her in the office so she can see that it doesn't really go down. She understood that from my understanding, but.
So now you see the difference that I'm talking about? Like if a black, if a white woman takes her hair out of that bun in the back, it falls down to her shoulders, typically, right?
Right, if it's long enough, yes.
A black woman would, you know, typically would say natural hair or whatever. You're at work, if you don't have, you know, a comb or utensils to make it fall,
right,
then it's gonna stay up there
because it's curly. Yes.
Okay.
It was still like, it was almost embarrassing as well because other coworkers also saw me and were like, oh, you're done for the day. And then I was like, no, like I can't come back if like this is how they want me to change. I understand for other people it is easier, and for me it would be easier, but I'm just saying the times where I don't wear my extensions, it should just be like okay that I want to wear like how my God gave me my hair, you know?
Yep. Beautiful black hair is a distraction, and of course you can't do your job if your hair is in a bun. We all know this. It's impossible.
Is it part of your uniform to wear your hair in a bun? I'm confused. What's happening here?
Yeah, they asked her, do you mind if your hair is down during the job interview? She said no. And she got hired on the spot. And, of course, on the third day of training, she said her manager sat her down and said, I'm sorry. Gonna have to let you go home. Because her hair didn't fall the way they wanted it to fall. She said they could see it doesn't go down. She understood. She realized I couldn't wear my hair like that during the shift, that it looked ridiculous. She was really nice about it. She said a lot of the girls were talking about my hair and that it's in a bun and theirs isn't, but it kind of sucked. So I guess other white women were like, why she get to wear a bun and I don't? So they're happy. They're probably happier that she got fired because she was getting her black privilege of wearing a bun while they couldn't. Yep. So, yep. 0 to 100, Karen.
100.
All right. I'll give it 100 as well. That's pretty. That's gotta suck because, you know, you count on that income and shit. Now you ain't got no job. Because your hair don't go down. Like, what?
That's the dumbest amount. One thing that really, really, really fucking frustrates me about when it comes to women and their hair, particularly black women and their hair, our hair does whatever the fuck it does. It grows however it grows, and people act like there's something wrong with you because it doesn't grow the same way that their hair grows. And it's like, I'm punished because I'm different. That's why you have these fucking dumbass rules about you can't have puffs, you can't have, well, okay, you don't see white folks walk around here with puffs, you don't see white folks walk around here with certain hairstyles. Okay, you're purposely targeting a particular group of people, and then when people call you out on it, you act like there's something wrong with them saying that these only affect this group.
Yep. But hey, now she ain't got a job, so that's good. God forbid you let her wear that hair in a bun. I mean, it fuck up everything. What will the customers think? You know, it's funny when places have these uniform rules and shit, and it's like no one who's ever eaten a steak has thought about that shit
and could give a fuck.
Nobody's like, did you notice her hair was in a bun? Did you see that?
And you know what? Sometimes
I'm gonna have to get my money back, Ruth's Chris. I'm sorry.
Right, and some people go, well, I would prefer it in a bun than flying that rail of my food.
I need some dandruff in my shit.
Right, come on, dog.
More restaurant-related tomfoolery with racism.
Joe's Crab Shack in Minnesota, or at least one Joe's Crab Shack in Minnesota, is facing a great deal of criticism after they decided to use...
I don't want to play that video clip. It's from the Young Turks. An African-American couple visited a Joe's Crab Shack in Roseville, Minnesota this week to celebrate a pre-birthday dinner, but left after discovering an offensive photo embedded in the table at which they were to dine. It was when Tyrone Williams and Chantel Allen sat down at their table in the Joe's Crab Shack restaurant that they spotted the offensive photo embedded in the tabletop. You know how some restaurants have designs like that? They take like newspaper and put it under plastic or something.
Or glass,
like,
or something. Yeah.
And that's like your table. Well, they had that, but the picture actually was a crowd of white people gathered around to watch the hanging of at least one African-American man. And the photo bears the legend, "Hanging at Groesbeck, Texas on April 12th, 1895."
Oh.
Yep. To make it worse,
smart.
To make it worse, the there was a hand-drawn bubble included above the condemned man's head, you know, like they drew in like a cartoon bubble to say like this is what he is saying, like you would in a comic strip.
Okay.
And it said, "All I said was I didn't like the gumbo." Hilarious.
No.
Oh, what a good hanging a black man joke.
Mm-mm, that's terrible.
It's like my lynchings with a side of humor. The couple immediately summoned the manager of the Joe's Crab Shack outlet to complain about the photo and the restaurant's choice of putting it on display as part of their decor. According to the local news outlet KARE11, the man was apologetic, saying he had no idea the photo was there, but the couple was so shocked by the offensive photo that they left the diner without eating. Williams told the reporters that this type of blatant racism should not be tolerated in this country or in our local and national eating establishments. But it's just fine in the Republican race for president. I'm just kidding. He didn't say that part. Allen backed her up, saying that seeing a photo of two black men being lynched was the last thing I expected to see at what was supposed to be a family-friendly restaurant. 0 to 100, Karen. Oh, it was on his birthday? Shit. 100 for me. Jesus Christ.
Oh, you trying to go in there and get with him. What's that thing? We got a fish tank full of margaritas, right. and you get this. I wouldn't have been happy either.
Jesus. On your birthday, though?
Right.
Happy birthday, you nigger piece of shit. Hang your people from a tree. Strange fruit.
No.
From the poplar trees.
Apparently so.
Anyway, let's go to Guess the Race.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room is racist. All right. Let's start here. Today in urination news.
Oh shit.
Coming straight out of Florida. Oh, Florida. A Florida hospital tosses medicine after a man urinates across the ER. So he must have peed on all the medicine and then they had to throw it away. Oh. Yeah. A Florida man is accused of possibly contaminating medications after he urinated on a Tavares hospital refrigerator. The refrigerator in the Central Florida town was stocked with thousands of dollars of medicine. Clyde Brooks was in the emergency room Tuesday night when he began to urinate on the walls and the floor after hitting a small refrigerator. According to the report, concerned about the contamination, the hospital tossed the medications. Brooks was charged with criminal mischief. He has been arrested 19 other times in the past 10 years. Shit. On charges that included trespassing, disorderly conduct, and indecent exposure, according to Lake County Sheriff's Office records. Guess the race of Mr. Clyde Brooks, who is a bit of a urinator in the hospital.
Quite a bit.
Let's see what the chat room.
I'm surprised they ain't charging for the cost of the medications.
Well, I mean, that's the thing.
He still might get charged for it.
Yeah, like they charge him with misdemeanor, like whatever. But I mean, I'm imagining at some point, if they throw out thousands of dollars of medication, there's probably no insurance for that kind of shit, you know. Mm-hmm. Ain't no urine insurance. they say to take this with liquid, though. A white man who always follows directions. R. Kelly fan says HC. White says Brianna. Yeah, HC, which kind of R. Kelly fan? The kind that only likes Ignition? Or the kind that like other songs? You know, white people love Ignition. That's a jam. It'd be up in, I ain't trying to be rude. That's the only song they know. That night, beep, believe I can beep. Fly. All right, that looks like all the guesses. And we have to go with white. And let me put this picture in there. There you go.
Oh yeah,
apparently likes to pee on a lot of medicines, Karen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, I guess now it's all penicillin. All right, let's see, how about this one? A manager and a job applicant foil a thief at a fast food restaurant. A job interview was in progress when a thief grabbed cash from the till at a fast food restaurant. The manager conducting the interview then blocked the door, and the applicant grabbed the thief's arms.
Oh.
18-year-old Devin Washington got the robber and the job at the Popeye's famous fried chicken restaurant in eastern New Orleans.
What you mean, establishment?
The fried chicken establishment.
Right.
Manager Daniana Metoyer. Okay. You know, these New Orleans people, man. They got those, the spelling doesn't necessarily pronounce the way it's pronounced. Said the robber asked the cashier to change a dollar Saturday afternoon and just reached over the counter and stuck his hand in the change drawer.
Shit.
The police said in a news release that assistant manager Dominique Griffin grabbed the man's arms, but he broke away from her and headed for the door. But Metoir, who was there to block him, said my upper body strength was stronger than his. We didn't hardly make any money. He was going to take $300 to $400 we probably had made. We needed our money, she said. Oh, that's Popeye's money. It ain't yours.
Mm-mm. That money insured.
Washington said, I got up and bit his arm back. He said he didn't know whether the man had a gun, but he wasn't scared. Washington and cook Michael Ford held the thief until police arrived. Police said Pablo Cisart, 50, was arrested on a simple robbery charge, and it wasn't clear whether he had an attorney who could speak up for him. Who could speak for him. Metoir said that she and Griffin already had decided to hire Washington, but hadn't had a chance to tell him when the theft occurred. She said they told him afterwards, you're hired, you earned it.
You sure did.
Yeah. So guess the race of the man Pablo Cisart, who tried to rob the Popeye's chicken establishment. He's lucky Ben Carson wasn't there.
Right.
I believe the people you want are up the right.
Over there.
Yeah, I believe you want the man behind the register. We season our food Bay Day black. Give that man a lifetime Popeyes card.
Oh.
Should have stuck to Robin El Pollo Locos. He's gonna pay for that wall, Latino. The correct answer is he is a Latino man. Congratulations. I think somebody did say black, though. Man, I really do be believing that woman in the commercial works at Popeye's. She's a good actress.
Mm-hmm. I think she works at all the Popeye's.
I picture her coming out the back with a wooden spoon like, who in here trying to take my chicken? Well, you better sit yourself down, honey, and try some of my brand new collard greens.
Yes!
With 11 herbs and spices.
And real fat back.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bet in real life she has an English accent. She's probably not even American.
Probably not.
I went to the school of Juilliard, and she's like all the actors on The Walking Dead and shit. You see her in real life. Oh, it's the Popeyes lady. How are you doing? Hello, governor.
You're like, what?
What's happening here?
Cheerio, old chap.
I didn't expect this.
Oh, would you like me to be in character? Hold on 1 second. Honey child, come on down here and get you some of these brand new Popeye's reels. It'll make you smack your mama. Louisiana fast. All right, let's go to the bonus round. Double the points or the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and a bonus round against the race. So far, everybody's all over the place, but mostly 2 for 2. Let's see how you finish. Yep. Bonus round time, guys. Gonna get a little tougher on you. Robert Crow, I think is his name. Okay. Show me your tits or I'll kill your daughter.
Oh, it got real in the streets.
High school student, 18, accused of stalking the mother of missing 14-year-old and then threatening her over Facebook. Her name is Robert Krug. He's an 18-year-old high school student, and he's been arrested and charged with stalking the mother of a missing 14-year-old online before threatening to kill her daughter if she didn't send him nude pictures. Robert Krug, who attends Bonnie Lake High School in Washington State, was charged by the prosecutor's office on Friday after sending messages on January 29th. Krug had contacted the mother of missing schoolgirl Haley Ann Gregory, 14, after seeing her pleas for information about her daughter's whereabouts. The mother, who DailyMail.com is not naming, was tricked into responding to Krug after he pretended to be concerned for her daughter's welfare. However, in a sickening series of messages, Krug is accused of asking how she is doing before claiming to be holding her daughter and threatening to kill her if he does not receive nude pictures. First of all, a fucking kidnapper would not ask for the nudes. Like, no one does that much for the nudes. You know what I mean? Like, I got your daughter.
What was he gonna do? Send her the dick pic next? What's happening here?
Right. It's like, I got your daughter from an untraceable line. Now send me them dick. Send me them titties. Facebook images of the alleged exchange uploaded by the mother now show that Krug initially messaged her at 8:59 a.m. on January 29th and asked if she was okay. The woman responded, "Thank you for asking. I'm not doing too well. It's Tuesday. My daughter's been missing now 7 weeks. I was hoping to sleep through so I wasn't having to live through hell on Tuesday, but I'm awake. Good time to pray." The following day, another message is sent from his profile, this time asking the mother if she's single. She replies a day later, "No, sorry, I'm not single." Finally, on January 29th, another two messages are sent at 3:35 p.m. The message said, "It's okay. I can see you. Wait, it is okay if I can see your tits. I'll give you your daughter back. If you don't, I'll kill her." First of all, she's been missing her daughter for 7 weeks, and you pull this shit?
Right, from your Facebook.
That should be like extra time on whatever you get convicted of.
Extra years.
The mother subsequently reported the message to the police. Krug was charged with by the prosecutor's office on Friday last week. It's not clear when he was arrested. When officers questioned him, he reportedly apologized profusely and suggested he sent the message because he thought the mother was attractive. What? That's such male entitlement shit right there.
I'm looking at my fucking daughter and you basically talk about, can I holler at you?
But what you doing looking with all them titties though? I mean, I ain't know you was gonna be out here looking with all that. You know what I'm saying? I know you missing your daughter. You know what I'm saying? But I'm trying to be a daddy. Make daddy a sandwich. He is now charged with cyberstalking, threats to kill with sexual motivation, which is a Class C felony and carries a maximum sentence of up to 5 years in jail and a $10,000 fine. Haley Ann Gregory is still missing and was last seen on December 8th and is described as being 5'4", weighing 140 pounds. Man, so her daughter's still missing after all this shit, and this fuck-ass nigga hit her up on some, so let me see them titties, though.
Right, she moaning over her child.
Ugh, loser. Anyway, guess the race of Robert Krug. Mr. Way, did you see my dick?
Right, and it got real when the police was like, "Hey, dog, you can't be doing it. I'm sorry, I just thought she was cute." Yeah, cute diss. Clank, clank.
Yeah, just because somebody's attractive doesn't, like, that's so wild. That's such a man thing now. It's right. Like, a woman dared be attractive around me? Well, clearly she needs the dick. The MRA president, White, says, EVE,
thought he was using whitepeoplemeat.com where such banter is normal. I got your cookie. How about you show me that milk, white man? The shit I wondered during all this is like, did he have something to do with her daughter missing now?
Because guess what? He gonna be no more suspect if he wanted to be or not.
Right. Now, I mean, that's how you know he's such a stupid, pressed ass, dumb motherfucker. Anyway, you guys all got it right, white. And yeah, that's him.
18 ain't smart. You still in high school.
Maybe. It's smart enough to know that shit was stupid.
Right.
However that sentence makes sense, I don't know. But y'all know what I mean.
Mm-hmm, I do.
He's smart enough to know what's dumb. And that's all you need to do to know not to do that dumb shit.
Right. You were smart enough to apologize when the police came.
So you ain't never watched the first 48? Get the fuck out of here. Like, any Law and Order episode to show you not to do that stupid shit.
Right. Then you're doing it through Facebook, which has all your information.
Your information. So you can see
she got screenshots and shit.
Yeah, man. I tricked this woman with her missing daughter into seeing her titties. Thank God. You know, people on the internet are savage, yo. Anyway. Crown Heights. Two exotic dancers and the man who hired them were arrested last week after the women robbed and maced their client, who retaliated by threatening and chasing them with a sword. The chaos began after a 55-year-old man met with the 27 and 28-year-old dancers, who I believe that adds up to 55. You know you had no business messing with them. In Manhattan on Saturday.
Right.
Like, I would like a 55. I would like 55 years worth of dancer to match my age, preferably split. Preferably split into two or three. Saturday night. Then he took them back to his Crown Heights apartment about 12:30 in the morning. There he put about $300 in cash on the table and told the women it was for them. But a scuffle broke out when the two women grabbed the money, started to leave, then sprayed mace in the man's face when he tried to stop him, according to the court records. The 55-year-old man then grabbed a sword from the inside of the apartment and chased them out with it, threatening to kill both women who fled into a neighboring apartment. Soon afterwards, police arrested all three individuals. The women were charged with multiple counts of assault, robbery, and possession of tear gas. The 27-year-old woman was also hit with controlled substance charge after police found cocaine in her bag.
Uh-oh.
The 55-year-old man was charged with criminal possession of a weapon, harassment, menacing, and lying to officers about his name and date of birth. See, this is why you don't call the cops when you're doing some illegal shit. You can't even give them your real fucking name. Sir, we're having, these bitches robbed me. They set me up. Bitches set me up. They in that apartment right now. Go get them. Sir, what is your name? My name?
Who, me?
Oh, I did not think this through. My name is Bennett and I ain't in it. No.
My name is Catfish Jiggins.
Okay, Bennett, what's your first name, sir? Paul, that's between y'all. Sir. We had to, you had to write the main song.
You have to give us a real name, sir.
Yep. My name is Puddin' Tane. Ask me again, I'll tell you the same. Come on now. He later told officers he's afraid to give his actual name because he is an MTA worker. Yeah, well, now your MTA ass is in the papers, stupid. Yeah,
you're no longer MTA worker. You mean former MTA worker?
Yeah, I guess so. Then he went on to bust some ghosts.
He ain't afraid of them ghosts.
I ain't afraid of no hoes.
He sure ain't.
He gonna be a hoes busters. All three were arraigned at the charges on March 14th and released. Court records show the 27-year-old woman and the man were each issued a temporary order of protection. You know what? I think the people that were talking about the show were right. We ain't shit. This show's terrible. Hoes busters. Mm-hmm. They were throwing a party for a bunch of hoes. All the wildest that was under the clothes.
So they maced them and took the money and they split.
Threw a high heels back on the back and she split.
Yeah.
That nigga called the cops. Oh, I know them cops was like, really, dude? Come on, man. This is an open and shut case. Appreciate the easy work tonight.
All right.
Thought I was gonna have to bust a real criminal. Alright, we'll be back tomorrow with more of this, whatever this is.
Whatever this is.
We'll be back tomorrow, so hopefully you guys tune in again. Of course, you can find us on theblackouttips.com and stuff. And leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, The Blackout Tips. Until then, go to go to tweakedaudio.com, use code TBGWT, get 33% off of some nice headphones, you get free shipping, and lifetime guarantee, lifetime warranty on those headphones, guys. All right, until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah. Well, I guess we're gonna have to bust some hoes. If it's up to us, we got to bust these hoes.